The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Good afternoon, Rolene Marks. How are you?
Well, if it's Whiskey Thursday, you know I'm having a solidarity dram.
Got a very special friend here. Say hello.
Hello.
I heard. A very, very special friend who I'm looking forward to chatting to tomorrow morning.
Never mind that.
Maybe with a whiskey.
He's going to teach us about body language because he's giving a workshop.
Well, he's an outstanding lecturer, and if you can get to one of his workshops, and I'm very jealous because I'd love to attend one of his workshops.
Yeah, me too. Ro, let's just talk a little bit about Israel news, please. Rockets in the south and IDF activity. Update us, please.
Well, a lot happening in Israel today. There were several Tseva Adom this morning in the south that sent thousands scurrying to their bomb shelters, and conflicting reports about whether or not a rocket aimed for Netivot, very, very close to the border with the Gaza Strip, was the target of one of these rockets. There is footage, there is camera footage of the Iron Dome shooting a rocket down, but also reports coming in that the Tseva Adom were false alarms. So a lot of conflicting reports, but what we do know is that activity around the Gaza Strip, and especially in the south, has been increased. The IDF have deployed a certain number of drones to try and deal with the incendiary balloons and condoms and other devices that are being sent into Israel, several today being found very close to both Bat Yam and Jerusalem. Drones being sent to try and shoot them down, as well as a tunnel destroyed today. This was a tunnel that penetrated at least 200 meters into Israeli territory from the Gaza Strip. And the IDF have said that this was dug by the Hamas terror group using certain techniques to try and make it more difficult to spot by Israel's detection systems. And the tunnel came from or originated in Khan Yunis, which is in southern Gaza, and was part of and connected to what they are calling a military tunnel network. And this is the 15th tunnel destroyed by Israel since October 2017. And if we just have a look at how much money goes into building these tunnels, if we can just do the maths or math, you know, depends on what side of the Atlantic you are, we can really have a look at the opportunities to miss humanitarian aid in terms of schools, hospitals, community centers.
Aside from that, Rolene, I would be very nervous if I was living in Gaza. Take being a Jew out of it. But, you know, because the whole of Gaza seems to have been built on tunnels. Or they're building tunnels under Gaza. At some point, you know, those tunnels are going to be destroyed. And then you're going to see, you know, then you're going to see structural damage to the buildings above.
Well, this is one of the concerns. You know, what alerted us to these tunnels were reports from civilians very, very close to Gaza on our side of the border saying, you know, they're hearing this funny scratching. It sounds like it's underground. It sounds like it's some kind of tunneling. And at first, the IDF did not believe these reports coming in. And really, I would worry for Gazan civilians because these people are being subjected not only to the Hamas control over the strip, which prohibits humanitarian aid more often than not from getting to them, or prohibits their salaries, or uses their private homes, their schools, their hospitals as weapon storage facilities. And their buildings are built on top of these tunnels, and it could cause significant structural damage.
Rolene, update us on the progress in the Barakan terror arrest.
Well, we do have reports coming in that we are getting closer and closer to catching the terrorist that murdered two Israeli civilians, Kim Levengrad Yehezkel and Ziv Hashbi, on Sunday. And for the fourth night in the row, Israeli security forces have continued their operations in the village of Shuwecha, which is the home of Ashraf Naaloa. And he was the terrorist that worked at Barakan Industries. He was an electrician, and he came in to work on Sunday morning and murdered two of his colleagues. Now, the IDF have taken into custody his sister Fairuz, as well as other members of the family, and they have demarcated the family home for possible destruction. Now, very often this the information coming from the Shin Bet or the security forces are censored because it is very sensitive information and does impact on the arrest and the investigation. So the Shin Bet are refusing to say on what grounds the sister Fairuz was arrested, but they have said they've arrested other members of the family as well as two other Palestinians in the West Bank overnight. And on Monday night, other relatives publicly appealed to him to please turn himself into the Israeli authorities. Now, what we also know is that he is said to have left a suicide note before the attack and was prepared to engage IDF or security forces as they closed him in on him. He wanted, you know, death by cops, so to speak. So there is a lot of investigation into how he managed to get a gun into the industrial park, because it was there before he came into work on Sunday morning, how he managed or why he intended to take specifically Kim Yeheskel hostage, and why he forced one of his other Palestinian co-workers to bind her hands with zip ties before he executed her.
Terrible, terrible story. Yeah, it's... I don't, actually don't know what to say. I really don't know what to say.
But we will catch him.
We will catch him. I just hope that it's not going to derail any progress that has been made between the coexistence between Israelis and non-Israeli Arabs.
Well, I think there's a certain amount of determination by the Israeli and the Palestinian co-workers who all worked together. You know, we hear incredible reports of how one Palestinian co-worker came to the aid of another co-worker who was shot in her stomach, and he calmed her down and he tended to her wounds until the paramedics could get there. And it is our hope, and we always hope for peace, that we won't have this really impacting on the ability or the intention of people to work together, because this is how peace is built. Peace is built from the people up and not necessarily from the leaders down.
And you know what? We have to tell those stories, really. Because we need to acknowledge that it is the minority. It is the minority that is getting involved in this. That is my feeling, that people are essentially good. Anyway, that's another story for another day. Can we talk about Ari Fuld? Is he getting a Medal of Honor?
Well, he could be getting a Medal of Honor, and Public Security Minister Gilad Erdan announced today that he wants to award a posthumous medal to Ari Fuld, because he pursued and wounded his murderer during the attack in Gush Etzion just last month, but also because of his work fighting BDS and promoting Israel. And we know that Ari Fuld held both Israeli and U.S. citizenship, and Erdan has asked the police commissioner, Ronnie Elshach, to consider awarding Ari Fuld a police Medal of Valor for his actions following the attack, which sadly led to his murder. Also, because he managed to save the life of other civilians who we now know was the intention of his killer to shoot as well. And we have the 17-year-old Khalil Jabarin in custody, and he will be facing the full arm of the Israeli courts pretty soon for his murdering of Ari Fuld.
Rolene Marks, that is where we leave it for the week, and I wish you a Shabbat Shalom. Look forward to hearing what you have to say tomorrow with Howard Feldman.
Shabbat Shalom. I'm going to go have my solidarity dram.
Enjoy. All right, Rolene Marks. Thank you so much. God bless.
Shabbat Shalom.
Bye-bye.